Hi, everybody. This is the Pony Sync call on October 18th, 2017. Welcome. And I will turn it over to Sean.
Hey, thank you, Gordon. Wow, we just had somebody with a really long looking random string thing join. Welcome, internet stranger, whoever you might be. Let's go ahead and let's get started with pull requests. Let's start with number 2272. Benoit, that's yours. It looks like this is good to merge now. Yes? The implement RFC 47 serialized signature?
Yes, should be good.
All righty. One change log added. Okay, boom. Confirm. All right, in it goes. There's one. One time back pressure. I wonder why I tagged that as needing discussion during sync. Oh, that's right. That's why. Okay, so the next one is 2256. I'm gonna put this into the runtime back pressure one because without it, the runtime back pressure PR doesn't work fully. But there's a question that would be part of this is that the issue that this closes was to change the cycle detector so it can keep up with block messages so that one, it gets scheduled like a regular actor instead of only being scheduled if there's no other work. And then two, also allow it to run to completion for its entire queue because the block messages that get sent to it count as application messages, which means that it would normally be limited to a size of 100, which pretty much guarantees that at some point it's not going to be able to keep up and you're going to have creeping memory growth. So the question I wanted to talk to people about was how we want to go about having it be special. And I put a couple different approaches in one of the messages that's from 7 days ago, and wanted to get people's thoughts on the best way to go ahead and allow it to run through its entire queue. Y'all looking at it? Getting caught up? Or is it just silence? Anyone?
I'm taking a look.
Okay. I wasn't sure at that point whether anybody had heard me or not.
So I'm looking at the implementation actor.c.
Yep.
And it looks to me that the fact that block message is count as application message, it looks to me that like it would be an oversight implementation.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow. It looks to you like what, Benoit?
An oversight.
An oversight?
Yes.
So I don't think it's an oversight in the sense that, like, it appears this was done so that so that it would end up getting dispatched to the cycle detector. I'm not sure there was an oversight. I think it was intentional, but like that certainly we could change it to like instead of having it fall through to default, we could have it handle each of those individually and then more or less duplicate the logic which is currently in there to dispatch it over to the cycle detector.
Yeah, okay. So but if handling the whole queue in one go does it offer more performance in every cases, or is it only in some cases?
So pretty much from what we've seen in any Pony application where you're processing a lot of messages with a lot of actors, where you're not fully using the scheduler all the time, so that you end up sending block messages. Yeah, if you will overflow the memory, and it'll happen really quickly. Like it cannot keep up with the size of those queues. It's impossible for it to do it from how it ends up working.
Okay, then I think treating block messages as non-application messages, I think that sounds like a good solution.
Yeah. So do you think then we should do it in that case statement so that it doesn't fall through to the default? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So that was one of the ones that I thought about, but I was like, I don't know. It's going to be some duplication of code. Maybe there's some other ideas. For example, it could still go through the default and then be checking the message type or returning, you know, it just using the return type of was this a cycle detector or not, or we can actually have those two blocks. So if you like the blocks, I'm perfectly okay with that, where we can have where it explicitly handles actor message block and actor message unblock. That works for me.
Yeah, I didn't thought about the fact that we need to call the dispatch function. So I'm not sure about that kind of duplication.
Yeah, that's where I got to as well. I was like, oh, it actually needs the dispatch function. I'm not sure. That's when I opened it up.
Yeah, so regarding the batch size, for normal actors, would we ever need different batch sizes?
It's something that I played around with in the past for the back pressure, and I think there's probably a reasonable chance that we'd want to end up doing something like that, but there's no guarantee at this point.
Okay, then maybe allowing variable batch sizes now would allow us to do less work for that on the road.
Yeah, it could potentially save us work down the road. But I mean, I've implemented variable batch sizes about four times, so the amount of work that it saves is really minimal. Like I could do it again in 20 minutes, the variable batch size stuff, because I've done it so many times. So I wouldn't really worry about it from that standpoint.
Okay, then I don't really have a preference on the implementation of the cycle detector and the block messages.
Anybody? Joe, you got a preference?
No, I don't have a preference. I feel like I don't have enough context on this one to give a great opinion.
So. I think after having this conversation, I'm going to do the most straightforward and explicit one, which is in that case statement, Joe and Benoit, I'm going to add explicit handling of block and unblock so that people can see that it is doing the dispatch in exactly what it's doing, rather than it having potentially being confusing what's going on where you first initially missed what it was doing, Benoit. I think the fact that you had to like go back and take another look for a moment suggests that that could be end up being a source of bugs anyway, where it's being a little clever about that to save a couple extra lines of code. So I'll go ahead with the removing the little bit of clever from that. Sound good?
I like
yes.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to remove the clever without talking to folks. I thought, all right. Okay. So I know what to do for that one then. Oops. I wanted to take the.
I like clever things, but I don't necessarily like implied things.
I don't think I ever use clever as a compliment. So for me, yeah, that's. That's yeah. All right. Do we have any other? I don't think we have any other PRs to go over at this point. Yeah. We have Peter's, but he's still working out what's going on with that. Okay. Issues. It looks like is there I thought I saw a conversation somewhere about 2285. I thought you were part of it, Joe. Oh yeah, there we go. Heard the discussion on that. So that was Theo. Yeah. So I don't think there's anything to discuss on 2285, is there at this point?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty straightforward and reasonable. Yeah.
All right. How about 2280, the seg fault, compiler seg fault with optimization enabled? Looks like, Benoit, you were involved in that at least a little bit.
Yeah, not really sure about what's going on that one. I'd have to take a look at the generated code.
All right. So that would probably be sitting at that then for now. Let's see. Documentation. Yes, that. All right. The one that John Brown opened, make test fails with Xcode clang 702. That's 2279. I take it this is a different one than the other thing that I saw merged. Okay. So bug.
Yeah, so that one was apparently included by one of my commits on serialization of compiler objects. And I suspect that the pull request that we just merged about the serializer signature, I suspect that might have solved this bug. So I'm going to leave a comment asking to test again with Lattice Master.
Okay, I just left him a message to that effect. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 2275. It got a couple thumbs up. Joe and Benoit, who both gave the thumbs up to that, this is allow Pony no block to be a compile time option. I see you both like the idea. I got tired of, like, with Wallaroo, we run with Pony no block all the time because, well, we have an external shutdown command in order to shut things down, and it never needs block messages in order to hit quiescence. But then we, you know, we're requiring people to use it all the time. That's the reasoning for anybody who's listening for why we'd want to make it a compile time option. But I assume, first of all, from this, if it's not clear that, it should be both a compile time and a runtime option. Would you guys agree with that, or would we want to make it a compile time only?
I agree.
Okay, so then what is the right way to go about doing it so that it's both compile time and runtime? Do we want to if def the couple points, or what do you think?
So do we want both compile time and runtime on the same program? For example, to allow compiling with Pony no block, but then in some special cases, allow to run with a cycle detector without recompiling?
That's certainly beyond the scope of what I was thinking. Because then that would be a new flag where sometimes you have pony no block, and then you'd probably also then have pony block in order to switch around if you'd compiled with it as being off by default.
Okay, so I think what we can do is in the code generator, if we compile with pony no block, to add the flag when we call pony init.
That's an interesting idea. What do you think of that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I think like C style if defs probably wouldn't work because that would be a C compiler time option.
Oh, good point. Very good point. Yeah,
so, yeah, I think Benoit's idea sounds promising.
Yeah. Do you want to leave a comment to that effect, Benoit? And then, so as part of this, then I guess we also do we want to somehow remove the --- no block option from? Oh, that's right. That wouldn't come up with the program. Never mind.
Sorry. Can you elaborate on that a little, Sean?
No, I was thinking, but then Pony no block will still come up as an option. But no, that only comes up for Pony C, and this would be on a per program basis. So it doesn't have to change the options because there's no option with a Pony program to show the different Pony flags that are available. Basically, I forgot how things work.
Right.
Which is a thing that happens to me sometimes. Okay. All right. Cool. So yeah, I think that would be a nice one. Is there anything else like Pony no block that we might want to do that with?
I was wondering the same thing.
Maybe. I mean, there's, yeah, I mean, it probably makes sense to do it for several of them that influence the runtime behavior like that, like Pony no yield.
Is this going to be the kind of thing where eventually somebody, possibly at Wallaroo Labs, is going to say something like, we need a flag to tell us what this was compiled with?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. And maybe that should be part of the discussion for like --- pony version. Maybe the output from --- pony version.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think
print those compile time options.
My knee-jerk reaction would be that I'd like to decouple that from pony version. I don't necessarily know. Well, anyway, whatever. We can have that discussion. But yeah, I think people might want to know on the other side what has and has not been enabled in the application.
Well, right.
Well, if we decoupled from Pony version, we could add like another one that's like dash dash Pony flags to just print.
Right now I can hear Sean gritting his teeth. But, but yeah, there should be a discussion around that, probably. But we could always... That could be done independently of adding this particular option.
Cool. Okay. All right. So Benoit is adding his notes. I'm going to do a discussion. Do we, is this an once Benoit puts his thing, would this be an enhancement that's ready for work, or do we think it's still under discussion at this point?
I think the only piece that we should probably figure out is which other flags need this, but I suppose those could also be added later, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, and complexity requires context, yeah?
Sure.
Alrighty.
Actually, I was thinking a bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the solution I talked about would have some problems. Yeah, because let me take a look at how the runtime is passing the the command line flags. Okay. That's good. So there wouldn't be any problem.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll put a comment on that and
I assume that was the partial call allowed without a question mark one? Did y'all go over that last week when I wasn't around, Joe?
We haven't really like investigated it, but I'm imagining that this was just an unintended consequence of my change from 2261. So we need to go back and figure out how to fix this while also keeping the intended change from 2261.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
I haven't had an opportunity to do that yet, but that's...
Yeah, Jack, I know the feeling on that. I have to bop off in a couple minutes to this other meeting. That's the issues and whatnot that are there, Joe. You could open it up for discussion. There's also like several PRs that Codec ABC opened for the Pony tutorial. They might want to take a look at, including 239 on there that I think would be worth a discussion around adding a thing that'll make it so that you can open examples from the tutorial directly in the playground. But there are some issues with that around the way he has it implemented. It does it for every code block right now, and not all the code block things are actually executable Pony code, and then even the ones that are don't necessarily have enough context for being able to make it compilable. So you guys could go through that if you want to, if there's no discussion stuff. Otherwise, we can always go through it next week as well. right? But I'm gonna turn over the being the runner person to you, Joe, and then Gordon, when you're done, if you can just send me the audio file, that would be great.
Right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Sorry to cut out early. I'll see you in a bit. All right. Bye.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's take a look at Pony Tutorial 4 Quest 239 and discuss it a bit. Yeah, I think it sounds great to have something like this, but it also kind of implies that the tutorial needs to be revamped to make all of the code examples compilable, or at least all the ones that are supposed to be samples of Pony code. I think the case is just that most of them are lacking a main actor to tie it all together, and some of them may be relying on pieces from like previous snippets up the page. So I guess the question we should discuss on this call is, like, does that sound like something that would be a it would be a valuable change? I'm inclined to say yes. You know, if somebody can go through the work to revamp the tutorial to make all the examples compilable, it would be awesome to just be able to click on one and get whisked off to a playground page where you could do variations on it and figure out how it works. Does anybody else have thoughts on this, or is anybody kind of opposed?
I think it's a great idea. I just think one thing to consider would be to actually do a check where to say if the code block has like the string actor main in it, then it will just take that code block and just put it inside of a main actor, or possibly something along those lines to keep the clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if there's, I haven't looked at the source for the plugin. I'm taking a quick look now.
I would also slightly oppose, because I'm afraid that if we had to artificially expand examples, that like would hurt the educational purposes of small examples just showing a really small feature. But I really like the idea of making those examples executable. Maybe just for some full examples, which we have a lot in the tutorial, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so if it's possible, I mean, maybe the best option here would be to see if the example like has the string actor main in it, then it gets expanded in this way. And if not, then the button is not visible. I'm not sure if that's possible based on this so far. I think it's doing a straight up CSS selection, which is not going to be sensitive to the context of the code example. But I'm curious if, let's see here. Let me just take a quick look at the tutorial page and take a look at the CSS or the, sorry, HTML CSS tags and see if there's a tag that relates to the language. Because we might be able to abuse that to do something interesting. Let's look at the source here. Oh, the HTML is not much in it. There's my name right here. There it is. Okay. Yeah, that's all in the. Okay. I just deal with the HTML for the page, and it seems like. Oh no, there it is. Okay. So it's a pre-block, code class, lang-pony. Okay. Yeah. And then this source, the source code for this plugin is selecting, it's selecting all pre-blocks. So I'm not sure if it's in CSS if it's possible to select by lang-pony, but that would at least give us the ability to if we could only do it for sources that were marked as pony, then like maybe we could do some kind of hackery with incomplete examples being marked as like pony snippet or something, or maybe the complete examples would be marked as like pony complete in the repository, and then all of those marked ones would end up with that tag.
Yes.
Because I do...
I also think that's the way.
Yeah. Okay, so actually, I'm just trying to figure out here if it's possible to do any kind of judgment there. See, I'm trying to figure out if this jQuery can be used. Is anybody here good at jQuery? I may be asking the wrong crowd, right? I'm just trying to figure out if the jQuery code here has access to the contents of the block or not. I think it would.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we can do the search for something like actor main within the block. So I'm going to add a comment on that ticket asking if he wants to work on making that improvement and then do this. Anybody have any other objections that are not related to or does anybody have any objections to the idea of doing this, but only doing it for code blocks that have actor main in them?
Sounds good to me.
Just one more thing. It might be a bit. It creates one gist in GitHub for each call to this button. Then maybe it's possible to. Check if there already is some just existing, but yeah, maybe that's not possible.
Yeah.
Or maybe create them with some lifetime span, if that's possible. It's just some random thought, just nice to have things.
Yeah, I think that would be a feature of the playground. No, it's not. That's happening here, yeah. So, I'm not sure if GitHub has like any kind of like terms of service or like requesting of people to not abuse this and create a bunch of anonymous gists. It'd be worth looking into, but I think this is kind of how the playground already functions when you do this. So I'm guessing that somebody already did on the Rust side that this was cribbed from, but. I mean, it is a good thing to maybe take a look at. I imagine that GitHub is probably doing some kind of optimization on their end, like if the hash of the contents matches exactly, then they're pointing to the same document or something like that, something clever to keep them from having to store the same text over and over again. Yeah, I will add all of that comment. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up for discussion while I'm doing that?
I have some really small things in the RFCs. I mean, if we want to stay with the tutorial, we can do this first. But if nobody objects, I would just wanted to raise your attention to bring your attention to the RFC issue 106. So I think the vote is already kind of clear, but if anybody has some opinion on this, I was stumbling over the net address class, which has some public fields like port and IP address. And I wanted to, because it was confusing not only for me, but also for others, I wanted to document those fields, but the stuff it's not from the parser, it's not possible to add doc strings to members of classes or actors. And so I wanted to add them. And the basic question of this issue is where to put them best. So if you have any idea, just add your thoughts. If not, I think we can treat this as ready for to be turned into an RFC.
I personally am very much in favor of doing this as long as the doc strings are below, because I think if the field doc strings were above and all the other doc strings were below what they're referring to, I think that would cause us a great deal of confusion.
Yes.
And I don't think there are any issues with how well it can be parsed. I think it's doable.
Yes.
So I that's pretty much all of my opinion. I'm all for it.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Okay. And there's another question I wanted to ask you. So when writing a library, especially across like breaking Pony C versions, I would love to be able to support both, like theoretically. And for this, I would need to have the Pony version exposed during compile time, so I could conditionally compile some part of the Pony code for this Pony version, and like within bounds. And but in general, but I would like, if anybody has an idea on top of your head how to approach this. Conditional compilation for different Pony versions. So there is an ifdef that's used for the platform already.
Okay, so the main problem here is that ifdefs in Pony don't have a value. Like, for example, if you're in C and you're the preprocessor define directive, you can specify a value for your define, and in Pony that's not possible. So currently you would need to have two different defines for your you will need to have a different define for every version of the compiler that you want to support. If you're not aware of it, you can specify custom defines with the --- define compiler flag.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Maybe we could add defines with actual values. I'm not sure how that would work in practice, but I'm not particularly opposed to that if you want to open an RFC for that or anybody else.
So the best case would be to say if Pony C is greater than equals the version where Future X was the breaking Future X was implemented. So I would like to compare on those values. So like other dynamic languages like Python, for example, they expose the version in their standard library. I don't know if that's possible or if it's usable after Olano.
So the other issue at play here, if you want to compare by a version number, that is it's a distinct use case. It's like a distinct semantics of the operator for like greater than compared to comparing a like an actual number. Because for example, 1.10 is greater than 1.9 in a version number, and it's just for other numbers. So that's another complication by adding version numbers here. One other thought that I had is just that right now the Pony version numbers, they don't mean as much as they will after, you know, we decide to transition to 1.0.0, at which point I think we probably want to stick to a situation of, you know, semantic versioning as it is often used, where the patch number denotes a bug fix and the minor denotes a new feature, and the major number denotes a breaking change. I think there are some problems with semantic versioning that we could debate, but what I'm getting at here, the core of what I'm thinking is that the version numbers aren't as if we were going to compare version numbers in the source code and do something based on that value, like I ideally would like it to be based on some kind of semantic versioning, even if it's not specifically like semantic versioning TM, like that. It's some form of versioning where the numbers mean something. And right now I feel like, you know, in Pony, we will have breaking changes on minor version numbers all the time. I don't know. Like, that's just kind of my thought about it. So one other thing I wanted to mention is that in on a case-by-case basis, if you have a situation where you want something to compile, there is always, like, this isn't the most elegant option, and I understand if it's too hacky to be something you want to do, but there's always the option of using those custom defined having, like, a make file type system that surrounds your Pony code, which a lot of us are doing. A lot of us are using a make file outside of the Pony compiler. And then you could detect the Pony version based on some, ranges that matter to you, and then set up defines that correspond to those ranges, and then use those in your code. Obviously, one of the main issues with that is that it's not really great if somebody is trying to use your code as a package, because they'd need to do the same thing. Overall, I think if this is something that you think is important, I'm not opposed enough to stand in the way of it. I'm just a little bit worried about things like those concerns that I mentioned. But I do think we can make it work if it's something that you think is important.
Okay. So, So for me, like custom defines with values would be the way to go. I just have to make up my mind. I leave a comment here, and I'm going to make up my mind about it before writing an RFC. Thank you for your input.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything they wanted to bring up on this call? So, I'm trying to think if I had anything else I wanted to raise. No, I don't think I have anything particular on my mind either. If that's the case, we could probably call it over.
So, fine for my side.
Okay, I will stop the recording.
Thanks, everyone.